Thanks for taking the time to listen to this weekly sermon from Southside Baptist Church in Florence, South Carolina. Our vision is to know God and make Him known. We now offer two services on Sunday mornings. Our classic service begins at 8:30 a.m. and our modern service is at 10:45. Please visit our website at southsidenow.church to find out more about how we are making disciples in the Florence area. For now, sit back and take in this week's message from God's Word.
We are continuing our series in the book of Daniel, and we've been in chapter 9 when we were studying some prophecy, the 70 weeks, but today we're going to study the first portion of chapter 9. And the title of this message is How to Pray in a Crisis. How to pray the kind of prayer that God answers. And we've seen Daniel as a man of prayer. I mean, in chapter 6, he was such a man of prayer. He had the habit of praying in the morning and in the noon and in the evening. It was his ritual. It's what he did. He would face towards Jerusalem and he would pray. And he had some other leaders who did not like him. And so they buttered up King Darius and said, hey, let's make a decree for 30 days that no one prays or worships anyone but you. He's like, that's a great idea. They appealed to his pride and that's what they did. And it was an effort to trap Daniel. And they did. And Daniel just heard of the decree and just said, yeah, I'm going to keep doing what I'm going to do. I'm going to worship God no matter what. Don't care. I'm going to pray how I'm going to pray. It was his habit. It's what he did. Prayer was important to him. But now we're going to see here Daniel. Prayer is still important to Daniel. But he's in a crisis. He's in a time where he sees his people, the Israelites, the Jewish people, where they're not quite really right with God. And yet, he knows there's a prophecy, and we're going to read about this prophecy in the book of Jeremiah, how they would only be in Babylon for 70 years, and then they would return to Jerusalem. And he's wondering, how is this going to happen? How is this going to happen? And we're going to see him pray. What really is prayer? If you had to boil prayer, like a definition of what prayer is, down to a simplest form, it is that prayer is you communicating with God. Prayer is to you communicating with God. The Bible tells us as believers, we can go to God, we can go before his throne of grace. And you see, God wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from you. Let me ask you, is prayer a habit that you have? It should be a habit of every believer. Every growing, maturing Christian has the habit of prayer in their life every day. Maybe it's in the morning before you go to work. Maybe it's as you're on your way to work. Maybe it's with your children in the morning and your wife. Have a habit of prayer. Have a set time. Throughout the day, Paul says, don't stop praying. I mean, throughout the day. So when people come to your mind that you know need prayer, or maybe you get our email, our prayer list, and you see, oh, someone so-and-so needs prayer, pray for them. They come to your mind, pray for them. We as Christians should always be ready in an attitude of prayer. And he wants to hear from us. Some of you go, well, I don't know how to pray. You know how you learn to pray? By praying. How do you get good at something? By doing it. Just the way a child learns to ride a bike, you need to learn how to pray. You say, but I'm young in my faith. I'm new to my faith. I'm learning. Learn. Do it. You can do it. And the Lord will help you. Just as Paul mentioned up here, he said that the Holy Spirit helps us in our prayers. When we're uncertain of what to pray for or how to pray, and we're uncertain, the Holy Spirit helps us in our prayers. Isn't that wonderful? You don't have to miss out on something because you didn't know what to pray or how to pray. He will help you. He said, but I tried prayer and God didn't answer my prayer the way I wanted. Okay, settle down. One, there is a God. And two, you're not him. All right? But God always answers our prayers. Let me say it again. He always answers our prayers. And we've gone over this before. Sometimes God says yes to our request. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says, wait. Sometimes it's a wait, it's not the right time, or I have something better. Sometimes it's, he answers it this way. And if he answered the Apostle Paul this way in his issue, he'll answer it the same way for you. See, some of you may think in your mind, God didn't answer my prayer because I just lacked faith. That can be the case. That can, don't get me wrong. But probably if you're already thinking that, that's not the case. Sometimes he simply says, my grace is sufficient for you. In other words, I'm going to walk with you through this valley in this difficult time. It's going to be difficult, but I am with you. And he promises that to every one of us. All of us, we've had, in one degree or another, it's been a difficult year. Maybe right now you're in the midst of a storm, a great difficulty, and you're wondering, what is God going to do? He'll answer your prayer. He will. And rest assured, he will be with you through it. See, prayer is a gift that we should boldly use. Prayer is like a time exposure to God. Our souls function like photographic plates, and Christ's shining image is the light. The more we expose our lives to the white hot sun of his righteous life, the more his image is burned into our character. You know, as a Christian, what I've learned is that prayer changes me more than I realize. That's part of the purpose. God wants to use prayer to change my character. And he wants to change your character as well. What does that mean exactly? It means that he wants to make you more loving, more compassionate. He wants to burn into your character his truth, his integrity, his humility. Prayer changes us. It does. It changes us. And prayer cultivates that relationship with the Lord. You see, he's not interested in just making you religious or knowing all the Bible answers. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to have fellowship with you. He wants that with you. And you can have that. And prayer helps cultivate that. I want us to look here as we start here in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 1. Six steps we see modeled in Daniel's prayer life and in the prayer in this chapter of how to pray a prayer that God answers. And he will answer. In verse 1, it says, in the first year of the reign of Darius the Mede, the son of Azarias, who became king of the Babylonians, during the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, learned from reading the word of the Lord as revealed to Jeremiah the prophet, that Jerusalem must lie desolate for 70 years. Now, I'm changing my notes a little bit. We're going to read to verse 11. All right? And it says, verse 3, so I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and fasting. And I also wore rough burlap and sprinkled myself with ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, O Lord, you are a great and awesome God. You always fulfill your covenant and keep your promises of unfailing love to those who love you and obey your commands. But we have sinned and have done wrong. And we have rebelled against you and scorned your commands and regulations. We have refused to listen to your servants and the prophets who spoke on your authority to the kings and princes and ancestors and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are in the right. But as you see, our faces are covered with shame. This is true of all of us, including the people of Judah and Jerusalem and all of Israel scattered near and far. Wherever you have driven us, because of our disloyalty to you. And notice how Daniel is including himself in this. He's not pointing his finger. He's saying, God, we, us, all of us, scattered near and far. And, oh Lord, we and our kings, princes, and ancestors have covered with shame because we have sinned against you. But the Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. And we have not obeyed the Lord our God, for we have not followed the instructions he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has disobeyed your instruction and turned away, refusing to listen to your voice. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the gift of prayer. And as we study and we break down this prayer of Daniel, I pray that we're reminded of the importance of prayer, that you want to hear our prayers, you desire to answer our prayers, and that every one of us as believers in Christ, as followers, as Christians, we need to cultivate our relationship with you through prayer. So God, I pray that our hearts and our minds are open to your Spirit here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So what's the first thing we need to do in order to see our prayers answered by the Lord? Here's the first one, is listen. Listen, let God speak first. Notice what Daniel's doing in verse 2. During the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, learned from reading the word of God as revealed to Jeremiah the prophet. Daniel is reading and has a copy of the book of Jeremiah. He's reading it, he's noticing and studying it, breaking it down, taking it in. Now, I don't know all what books Daniel had, but he at least had Jeremiah, and he's reading. He's like, okay, God, I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. I want to know what you are saying. So Daniel, he was learning from reading. He was studying the scriptures. He was learning from the word. There's some things God won't answer you in your prayers. It's not even one of the four that I just mentioned, the yes, no, wait, my grace is sufficient. It's because God already spoke and told us what he thought about the matter. He's not going to give any further details or talk any more about it. He's just not going to do it. I mean, just take the Ten Commandments, for example. Take the Ten Commandments, and you look at it about stealing. Should I steal this? Well, God's not going to answer you because he already told you. Shouldn't be stealing. Should I murder this person? No. Should I leave my wife, or should I leave my husband because I'm just not in love with him anymore? Well, Jesus spoke to this, and we've covered some of this. There may be a reason to leave your spouse, but you have a lot of reasons not to leave your spouse. One is adultery, right? And so Scripture is clear about many, many things. God's not going to give you any further detail when he clearly has spoken something in his word, and he has told us what we need to do. See, maybe you're here this morning, and there's a lot in the Bible you don't know. Here's a little secret. There's a lot in the Bible we all don't know, but we all should be learning. And there, you should be ready to give an answer to a person. If you're a Christian, you need to be learning. If you're a Christian, you need to be learning and reading this book every single day. Even if it's a chapter a day, read a chapter a day. If you're reading four chapters a day, wonderful. Some of you may read much more. Some of you may read a whole book in a day. I mean, the amount of time we end up wasting on social media, trust me, we can work in the Word of God. There's plenty of time. The question is, will you make time? But by reading the Word of God, by studying the Word of God, we need to be in it. It helps us grow. The Bible says we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God, ready to give an answer. We need to give an answer. Be ready to give an answer to the other people around us. Say, preacher, I don't know a whole lot. That's okay. Learn. Always be growing. Something I ask my kids almost every day that I pick them up from school, what did you learn today? And actually, it's even more specific than that. What did you learn today that was new to you? I remember when I was a salesman at Circuit City, now out of business, their stock dropped like 30 points the day I was hired. It was a sign, a prophecy of what was going to happen. But I remember one of the top five salesmen in the company, and there was a lot of stores at one point in time, I think 600, 700, 800 stores, and he was like top five, very smart, can't remember his name. And I was asking him some questions, and one day he came up to me, and he would give answers, but one day he came up to me and says, Lucas, what did you learn today that was new? And I was like, huh. And he said, every day I try to find something new that I did not know, whether it's in the business I work or what I do. I thought, that's some wise advice. Every day should be a day that you learn something new in the Word of God. Eventually, you're going to know something, you're going to be able to teach something, you're going to be able to help lead your family, lead your spouse, lead your church the way that God intends you to do. What are you learning new? Maybe you've gotten complacent. You're like, I've been in church my whole life. Trust me, there's something you don't know. Something you don't know. Something that needs refreshed, that God, you need to be in this word. Jesus said this in John chapter 15. He said, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. Interesting passage. It's almost like God saying, here's a blank check. Ask me, I'll give it to you. Preacher, I've tried that before. It didn't work the way I thought it was going to work. Well, here's some things you need to know as well. Notice there's some conditions here. If you remain in what? Me. And my words remain in you. How do you remain in the Lord? By walking with him, faithful in church, faithful in the word, faithful in prayer. Are you remaining in him? If you're not remaining in him, how are you going to know what to pray for concerning God's will? In fact, the book of James warns us that you have not because you ask not, but as Christians, we should not be asking for certain things upon our own lust. Because it may not be God's will for us. He's not going to give us something that he knows is not good for us. He is a loving God. And as we are praying and he's conforming us more to the image of God, you know what happens? We end up realizing there's certain things we thought were so important, they really are not that important. We realize the right things of what we need to be praying for and what God's will is, and he shows us, he reveals it to us, and we end up realizing, God, I just want your will to be done. God, I want your will to be done. And if there is something that I'm missing in prayer, the Holy Spirit helps me in my prayers. He'll help you as well. He will. It says, remain in me. Remain in me. Are you remaining in him? Are you taking in the word of God? Let me ask you, what passages of scripture are you memorizing right now? You need to memorize the word of God. I hide your word in my heart, God, that I may not sin against you. The word of God helps us not to sin. How did Jesus deal with Satan when he was tempted for those 40 days? And Jesus was tempted. It's not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin to act upon the temptation. Even Jesus was tempted. And Jesus, how did he answer Satan? Satan would take the Bible, take a half-truth, a part of the scripture, and try to give it to Jesus. And Jesus said, wait a second. And Jesus answered the devil with the word of God. You need to do the same as well. He gave us an example of what to do. Some of you are fighting temptation. What should you do? Memorize the word of God. Find the area in which you struggle. Memorize it. Hold on to it. And whatever lie you're believing, replace it with the truth of God's word, and it will change you. Will you have struggles? Yes. But you know where to run. You know how to put on the armor. You know how to take the sword, which is the word of God, and you're able to use it. Some of you have a sword, but you don't know how to use it. It's like having a conceal and carry permit and not having bullets in your gun. Wait a second, bad guy, I need to load this thing up. Like a Barney Fife, you got your one bullet, and you're trying to... Get ready. Remain in him. You know, coming up, and Daniel, man, he is in the word. Something we have coming up in August that we'll have, and you're going to hear more and more about it, and we'll be talking a little more about what we're doing as a church moving forward. And August is kind of the month we look to get our church a little bit more back to normal. A lot of new people here, which is wonderful. You don't know all what we do and what we have because there's some things we just haven't done this last year because of COVID. But we plan on having once again, and we've had it in years past. We didn't have it last year, but we're going to have Awana. If you're not familiar with Awana, man, Awana is awesome. It really is. Kids from 4 years of age on up learning and memorizing the word of God. And the word that, and what they're memorizing is you know, you're not going to give a four-year-old John 3:16 and memorize the entire thing, but there's things in that they memorize and they learn. What's happening? They're hiding it in their heart and in their life. And one of the best things you can do for your child is teach them the word of God. Have them memorize the word of God. And that's coming up. And you know what we're going to need? We're not going to need volunteers. We don't have volunteers here at Southside, but we do have workers. And Jesus asked for workers for his field, never asked for volunteers. If you want to be a volunteer, go somewhere else. We need workers, right? Workers are rewarded by the Lord for their faith and their work and their dedication. And so we're going to need workers for that. Some of you have worked it in the past, and I know you're going to work it again. Some of you are not familiar with it. Your kids have never been in Awana. Get in Awana. It's wonderful. It's going to be great, and I'm really looking forward to it. We have some other things we'll be sharing and having with our men's ministry and coming up in August. There's other things we're going to be doing and promoting. We're going to have a Back to Church Sunday in August. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait. And there's some other wonderful things that we'll be promoting and talking more about as we get closer to it. But of memorizing the Word of God. And what a treat. What a treat to see your children. And if they're doing it, you need to be doing it as well. Memorize the Word. So in chapter 1, Daniel is worried about the crisis in his life. And so he starts reading this book by Jeremiah. Now here's the thing. Daniel and Jeremiah were contemporaries. They're alive at the same time here during this time. And so in Jeremiah's book, God tells him those guys are going to be there, the Israelites, for 70 years. And Daniel reads this passage in Jeremiah 29, and this is what he's studying. I want to show it here to you. This is what he's studying here. And we're going to read actually a little bit beyond 12 here, but it says, "For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you." It continues in verse 13 and says, "And you will seek me and find me. And when you search for me with all your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place in which I caused you to be carried away captive." And if you've been around church a while, you've heard this passage. You may even have it on your wall at your home. We've heard it, but we often leave out a phrase that's in here that is important. It says, in those days, when you pray, I will listen. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. God has made you a promise. This was a promise given to the nation of Israel. He says, I know what I want to do with you. It's good. It's wonderful. But it's going to happen. God here is showing his sovereignty, that he's in control. He didn't just create all of this and just kind of flick it and let it just all go into motion. Is this going to be what it's going to be? God is sovereign. But if we think there's nothing for us to do, then we're fooling ourselves. He says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. He wants to hear us pray. I'm here for you. I'm ready. And there's promises in which God has for you. He thinks good thoughts towards you. Some of you came in here and you think God is always mad at you. You think God's always trying to beat you over the head with your past and that he just won't let it go. And he's willing and waiting, he's waiting and he's willing to forgive you of your sin. He's not going to hold it over you. If you come humbly to the Lord, say, God, I know I have sinned. God, I know I need your help. He'll forgive you. Not only will he forgive you, he'll restore you. Now, I'm not saying that when we sin and he forgives, that there's not consequences for our sin. There can be consequences in this life. But God's just not sitting there going, okay, I know I have forgiven them, but now I'm going to punish them. That's not what he does. He's willing to forgive. He's willing to listen to your prayer. And he's waiting for you simply to humble yourself. You know what kind of prayers that God doesn't answer? Those who have a prideful heart. Those who come to him with a prideful heart and go, God, I'm just here and I want you to do what I want you to do. And God, you're going to have to do it my way or it's the highway. God, I'm not interested. If you do this, then God, I will do this. God doesn't really negotiate very well. He doesn't. Every now and then someone will say, well, God and I, we had a conversation and we worked things out our way. No, you didn't. You may have thought you did, but you're not getting that from the Word of God. God's not who do you think you really are? Really, it's one of the most prideful things you can say is saying, God and I have our own thing worked out. No, you don't. No, you don't. Let me say it again because there's probably at least one person who needs to hear it three times. No, you don't. God doesn't operate that way. You're special, yes. God loves you, yes. But you're not so special that God just has a particular plan just for you, for salvation, that he just gave to you that no one else is going to get. No. It involves you humbling yourself, repenting of your sins, and asking Christ to be your Lord and Savior. There is no other way. We have it worked out. Maybe in your prayers, you've been praying and say, God, I've been praying this prayer. Maybe you've been praying this prayer for years, maybe even for decades, and you're wondering, does he hear my prayer? Am I waiting on God to answer this, or is God just waiting on me to pray it the right way? It's a good question. And it's like, I have this dream, or I have this prayer. I got something, God, that just hasn't happened yet, and I want to know if you know what's going on. God, will you do this thing in which I've been praying for? And we're praying in his will, and we know that, God, he will answer our prayers. You see, if we're walking in the Spirit, and I want, and I know, God, that my heart is in line with what God wants, and I know that my prayer is going to conform to the will of God. That God, that you're changing my character, you're changing who I am. God, you're helping me in this area. Here's another thing that we see here with Daniel is this. Is that Daniel in his prayer, praying the kind of prayer that God answers, is that we focus our attention on God. This is what Daniel does. It says there in verse 3, so I turn to the Lord. In other words, I turn my face to God. I turned it towards him. God, I want to hear from you. God, I'm seeking you. I want to know what you want me to do more than anything else of what's going on. God, I want to hear from you. A desire, a longing of God, I need to hear from you. When's the last time you said, God, I'm pleading with you. God, I want to know. I'm turning completely to you. I'm putting everything else out to the side. I'm putting the blinders on. God, I want to hear from you. I want to seek you. Here's some passages. There are promises from Scripture, promises from the Lord when it comes to seeking the Lord. Proverbs 8 says, God says, I love all who love me. Those who search will surely find me. Find me. You say, I can't find God. Then you're not seeking him. You got to seek him in the right way. Jeremiah 29 says, if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. That's a serious and emotional seeking. You're going to find me when you really want to know me. Not like, oh yeah, I kind of want to know God. In my spare time, I'll give you some spare time, God, in between the football game or when I'm not busy or if I literally have nothing else to do and I'm sick of scrolling through social media, God, I then will seek you with my whole heart. Seek him. It's an emotional, a deep longing of God, I want to know you. Notice what Hebrews says. But without faith, it is impossible, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently do what? Seek him. Are you diligent in your seeking? What does that mean? To be consistent. To be consistently seeking God. You want to please God? You want to have the kind of faith? Seek him. What will he do? What's the result? He rewards. You want to have the kind of life that God rewards, diligently seek him. When you're diligent, what do? You plan. You plan. When you're diligent, you get rid of things that may not be bad, but they're not good, and they're not part of what the plan in which God has for you. You put them off to the side. You pray about what truly is important, and you figure it out. Let me ask you, are you diligently seeking him? If you're wondering, well, God, I've been a Christian for a while. I don't seem like I'm growing. Are you diligently seeking him? And if you're diligently seeking him, listen, you'll be faithful in church. Every now and then I'll have a Christian go, well, nowhere in the Bible does it say you got to go to church to be a good Christian. Well, that's not actually true. Nowhere does it say in the Bible you have to go to church in order to be a Christian, because that would be salvation by works. But when you read the New Testament, when you read Hebrews 10:25, that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves as a manner of some, you can't be a good Christian and forsake the church. Amen. You can't do it. You can't be a growing, maturing, right with God Christian and neglect the church in which Jesus Christ bled and died for. You can't do it. Stop making excuses. Either church is important to you or it's really not. And when you're diligently seeking God, you're going to say, God, I'm going to order my life accordingly and which you want me to. It's no longer about me. It's not about my kingdom. God, I want to follow you and seek you and live for you and do what is right. Luke 12 tells us, seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you what? Everything you need. He says, don't seek wealth, seek God. He'll take care of everything you need. Don't seek fame, seek God. He'll take care of everything you need. Don't seek pleasure, don't seek a husband, don't seek a wife. Don't seek all these other things that you're seeking. He says, first, seek me. Seek me. And if I'm at preeminence, in other words, first place in all things, everything else will fall into place. You say, preacher, I'm single. You don't want me. I shouldn't have a husband or I shouldn't have. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, listen, if you're a lady here and you're a young lady or whatever, you're single and you're here and you're like, I have a desire to be married. What kind of man should you be looking for? Look for a man who loves God. You know, it's already consistent seeking God, who will love God more than he loves you. Because then everything else will be in the right order. Listen, men, if you're looking for a lady to marry, find a woman who loves God, who will always love God more than she'll ever love you. And it's in the proper order. You should love God more than your spouse. Not saying don't love your spouse. You better love your spouse. But first and foremost, I'm going to follow God and seek him. And everything else falls into the rightful place. Because this world has it screwed up. They have it screwed up. And we're seeing the fruit of it right now. We have children running families. Even spiritually. It just boggles my mind sometimes. And this happens every now and then, and we'll talk about it in staff, that you'll see some kids, they may not like something, and so the family will, it doesn't happen very often, and I'm thankful, we have a lot of new families here, but sometimes families will leave because little Susie didn't like, and I don't think there's any kids Susies here, so I'm just using Susie, but Susie did not like, you know, something such and such happened, or someone got mad at them, and so, well, since Susie doesn't like it, and don't get me wrong, like, if you're, all your kids don't like the church, like maybe it's not a good fit for you. Like, I get it. You want your kids to like where they go. I understand. But on a whim, well, we're done. Susie doesn't like it any longer. We're going to go church shopping. Well, who's running your family? Are you man enough to run your own family? I hope so, but not all men are. Run your family like a man, like God called you to be. And stop having your children run your household. Lead your children. Like men and women should, who are godly men, seek the Lord. When you're seeking him, everything else will fall into its rightful place. Seek him. And when you put him first, he will bless the people who put him first. You may probably never realize this. There's a lot of pain that some of us are in because we simply had not been seeking the Lord. We decided to make decisions without praying about it. We decided to make big life decisions without praying and fasting about anything in our life. And we look back and we go, oh, why did that happen in my life? And maybe you even blame God for it. When God's like, you didn't even ask me. I gave you a free will, and you just kind of did whatever you want to do and ignored what I said in my word, ignored what the Holy Spirit was telling you, and you didn't even pray about it. I could have saved you from a lot of pain in life, and a lot of pain in life could be saved when we're seeking God, desiring his will. How much pain are we going through right now because we haven't listened to the Lord? In the United States of America, we are dealing with that right now. What's the issue and what's going on? What's the root of the problem of all the craziness of America going on right now? We stopped seeking the Lord. We stopped trusting in God and trusting in ourselves and our own intelligence and making up our own morality. And when you start making up your own morality and you're just doing whatever seems right, whatever feels right, you're going to have chaos. You're going to have chaos all in the family, in our nation, in our communities. That's what you get. In fact, so much of the problem in your life may be because of the decisions you were making without talking to God first, and you need his help. You weren't having that daily conversation with God. You say, God, I'm getting ready to go to Target. I'm headed to Target, God. God, I need your help. This is a prayer I pray every single time my wife goes to Target. God, have your hand over my wife. Give her temporary blindness to see things in which she doesn't need to buy. So far, God has, he's heard my prayer. But anyway, I'm just teasing a little bit. But notice Hosea here. I'll show you the book of Hosea. It says, then I will return to my place until they admit their guilt and turn to me. For as soon as trouble comes, they will earnestly search for me. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces. Now he will heal us. He has injured us. And now he will bandage our wounds. Notice what he says. Then I will return to my place until they what? Admit their guilt and turn to me. Until we go, God, I need you. I need to seek you. I'm done doing things my own way. God, I'm praying and asking. He will help you. God is here to help you. He's not here to condemn you. That's not what he wants to do. He wants a relationship with you. But listen, if you think God is going to be with you when you just thumb your nose at God and you go, God, I'm going to live my own way, do my own thing. I'm not going to confess any sin. I'm not going to make anything right. I'm not going to admit my guilt. He's just going to sit down and watch. He's going to sit down and watch. And it breaks his heart because he knows what is up ahead when it comes to the decisions that some of us are making and the destruction that's going to cause. And much of it we could be saved from. You know what I found in ministry is that oftentimes people do not change and come to God because they see the light. Oftentimes people come to Jesus because they feel the heat. And oftentimes it's because of the decisions in which they've made, and life just stinks. And they're in a situation, they paint themselves into a corner, and the only way to look up is up. And God, I need you. Maybe that's you. Maybe you think it's too late. It's not. It's not. He can untangle your mess. He can help you if you're willing to humble yourself and pray. Say, God, I need you. See, Daniel, when he prayed, he expressed his desire with emotion. It says, and I pleaded with him in prayer. He was pleading with the Lord. God, I need you. God, help me. And he puts this as part of the condition. As Daniel is studying Jeremiah, he sees this. And he comes across chapter 50. It says, in those coming days, says the Lord, the people of Israel will return together with the people of Judah and they will come weeping and seeking the Lord their God, and they will ask the way to Jerusalem and will start back home again. And you may have felt like you've lost your way. And you may wonder if God wants anything to do with you. Come back to Him. Plead with Him in prayer. He will show you what to do. He will accept you back into the fold. And maybe you're trying to make a decision right now that's a difficult decision, and you're wondering, plead with Him. I like to use the acronym FOG. I've used it before, and I think it's a very, very wise. It helps clear the fog. It helps clear things up. What is the acronym? F is feelings. How do you feel about the situation? Now, feelings should be indicators, but they should never be dictators. But feelings, how do you feel about it? It's an indicator. And you may feel differently the next day. That's why they say sometimes on a big decision, sleep on it, right? See if you feel the same way the next day. That could be an indicator that, okay, your gut's telling you right. Then there's others. Oh, others. What do other people who love you, care about you, who are godly believers, what are they saying? They're praying about it for you. What are they saying? Your mentors, maybe family members, what are they saying? Myself, other pastors, leaders, deacons, what are they saying? Then there's God. What does God's word clearly say about it? Is the Holy Spirit dealing with you about something or revealing to you? What is He showing you? The clear, the fog. And with these last couple, is this, that when we have the kind of prayer that God answers, that we demonstrate our seriousness with fasting. The angel says, and prayer and fasting also wore rough burlap and sprinkled myself with ashes. Why are they sprinkling themselves with ashes and rough burlap? That's like, who does that anymore? But it was their way of showing outwardly their sadness and the seriousness of the situation. There's some situations, and Jesus even talked about this in the New Testament, the strongholds and things that are in your life that you're not going to get over unless you pray and you fast. Most common way of fasting is to drink plenty of water, but for a period of time, eat no food. You can do it. It's not impossible. As long as you can go without water is what, 3 days? You can go actually, I think it's 40 days as long as you can go without food. After 3 weeks, it gets really, really tough. But you can go days without eating. You can. Don't do it for the purpose of losing weight. That's a side benefit if that's what you need. But the main benefit is saying, God, what's on my heart? What's on my mind? God, I am so serious about this, about the issue that's in my marriage right now, or the issue with my children, or my job, or the situation, the struggle in which I'm going. God, I'm not only just praying. God, I am fasting because, God, I'm diligently seeking You in Your will, and I want to know what it is. When's the last time? When's the last time that you not just prayed, but you also fasted in a situation? You need to. You're thinking about changing jobs? You need to pray and you need to fast. You got a big decision with your children, or maybe you're in college right now, you're getting ready to go into college and you're wondering, God, where should I go? Pray, fast. Maybe you're thinking, hey, I'm getting ready to marry somebody, and or I'm getting ready to get engaged, or like that thing. Have you prayed and fasted about it? You should. There's some strongholds won't come down unless there's prayer and there's fasting. It says, God, I'm here and I'm serious. The kind of prayer that God answers. We should thank God for His love and His promises. And that's exactly what Daniel does. He says, God, thank You. When you pray, it should be a time in which, yes, you confess your sin. God wants to hear you confess your sin. It's also a time of praising God and thanking God for who He is and what He's done. It's also a time of asking God. It's okay to ask God. You have not because you ask not. There's things you need to ask. That's part of prayer. And so of thanking Him. The last but not least is humbly confess my sins. And there may be prayers in which God doesn't answer. And Scripture is clear on this. Did you know that the way that you treat your spouse can hinder your prayers? So big boy, if you're a jerk to that woman of yours that God gave you, God can go, I'm not listening. I know you're praying. I know what you're praying, but God goes, I'm not listening. Same with wives. Relationships and how we have them and the way we treat people, it matters to God. Now, He can forgive that. He wants restoration, absolutely. But notice, how Daniel is praying. He humbly confesses their sin. He doesn't point his finger. He says, we. He says, us. We need to make this change. And God, I'm going to end with this. I'll end with this. God responds to Daniel in his prayer. Now, not as soon as maybe Daniel wanted, but when he started praying, God heard it. And God sent Gabriel. Notice verse 20. Starting verse 19 says, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. For your own sake, do not delay, O my God, for your people and your city bear your name. And I went on praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, pleading with the Lord my God for Jerusalem, his holy mountain. I was praying, and Gabriel, whom I had seen in the earlier vision, came swiftly to me at the time of the evening sacrifice, and he explained to me, Daniel, I have come here to give you insight and understanding. The moment you began praying, a command was given. And now I'm here to tell you what it was. For you are very precious to God. Listen carefully so that you can understand the meaning of your vision. And that vision is a 70 weeks in which God has decreed concerning Israel. And we went over that weeks prior. God wants to hear your prayer of confession. How does God respond when I humbly admit that I blew it? Is it with punishment? No. It's with grace. It's with mercy to those who come humbly before him. And God doesn't listen to the prideful complaining, but he does listen to humble confessing. And he will hear your prayer. Let me ask you this. Do you know Christ as your Lord and personal Savior? As a Christian, we have that privilege of going straight to the throne of God. But if you don't know him, the only prayer he's going to hear from you is a prayer of repentance. He won't hear anything else. He won't. You can accept him here this morning. Let's be in an attitude of prayer as we finish this up, this time of reflection. Some of you right now, you have some prayer requests that you're praying. Maybe it's for a loved one to get saved. Maybe it's for a loved one who is saved, but they're not in church. Maybe it's for your spouse. Maybe it's for the health of someone that you know, or maybe even yourself. Maybe it's in a relationship between you and your spouse, or a friend, or a neighbor, or a situation, a coworker that you know needs prayer. Just raise your hand, show it to God. Say, God, I have something on my heart, my mind that I'm praying for. God, hear my prayer. Just show it. Raise your hand. Show it to God. I see that hand. I see many. God, there's something just on my heart. God, I just want to make sure, God, you are seeing it. Maybe you're here and you've never given your life to Christ. You can accept him here this morning. Pray, dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner. God, I realize I deserve hell. But God, I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins. I'm asking Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. If you prayed that for the first time, you're giving your life to Christ. I just want to pray for you and rejoice with you. I won't point you out, but you raise your hand high in the air. Say, Pastor Lucas, I'm giving my life to Christ here this morning. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We're thankful for your goodness and all that you do for us. Bless us this week as we go out into the world. May we share our faith. May we invite other people to church. May we take time to spend in your word and take time to be in prayer. We love you and we praise you. And everyone said this morning, amen. God bless you, folks. Have a great, great week.